Joe Zagacki is the voice of the Miami Hurricanes. He is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Just flew in from New York, and boy, are his arms tired. Hey, he just flew in from New York. What was the mood on the plane, Joe?
The mood was one of joy and fatigue. So people were happy and a lot of sleeping.
Just like emotionally spent, right? I mean, what was it? What was it like last night and then on the plane this morning? I mean, they're going to the Sweet 16 for the second year in a row, and they looked good yesterday. Like, it wasn't
great
a squeaker like Friday. I mean, they looked good.
Yeah, they were frustrated by Friday's game in a lot of different ways. Last night, just a lot of unbridled joy. The locker room, the guys were, you know, all smiles. It was a great bunch of kids. They just were ecstatic with the way they played. And then, you know, by the time we got back to the hotel, not much time to have a little food and then an early flight today. So the guys are pretty tired. Today they'll have the rest of the day off, and then they'll practice tomorrow, begin their prep for Houston. But just really, they were just the locker room was just, you know, as you can imagine, when you've just won a big game like that, they were celebrating and happy and thrilled and then I think exhausted. But I think they were very satisfied after what happened on Friday that they were able to show what Miami basketball really looks like.
And Joe, from your perspective, like really what happened? Because it to me, watching it, it just looked like Drake was a better team than Indiana because Miami dominated. But what was that difference? What were the – you just said the team was frustrated. Why were they so frustrated on Friday and that they could change it on Saturday – I mean on Sunday?
Well, I think it's a whole combination of things, Channing. One, from probably being nervous, being in the NCAA tournament, it's become such a gigantic event. And even though you've been there before, I think there's still a set of nerves. So I think they were a little bit nervous playing a different opponent. Maybe I'm sure they respected them, but probably didn't really know much about who the hell is Drake and what is a Drake and all that stuff. We stayed at the Drake Hotel last year in Chicago, but that's about all they knew about Drake. And then the game, they didn't play well offensively. They got sucked into Drake's game, and I think they got frustrated with the way the game was called. Drake was pulling and grabbing, and you know Nigel Pack had his shirt damn near ripped off, and Isaiah couldn't get free. They were all over him. So they didn't share the ball. They only had 6 assists in that game. Just wasn't their kind of game. And then on Saturday morning when they reconvened, once they were able to get past that, Coach L gave them, I thought, just a brilliant game plan for Indiana, one that they really absorbed, one that they wanted to attack, and then they executed really at a high level. And it revolved around, you know, stopping Indiana's best player. He still got his 20 points, Trace Jackson Davis, but he really had to work hard for it. And then they shared the ball in offense, and they crushed him on the boards. Norchad was just a beast on the boards, man. He was like Hercules rebounding the basketball.
I mean, you got to give props, too, to the Hurricanes training staff, right? Because Omir, I think a lot of guys are out for an extended period of time with that injury. He looked a little hobbled on Friday. He looked, I mean, like he was running on all cylinders yesterday.
Yeah, they got a great trainer, Sam Johnson, a young guy who really the players – appreciate how much work that Sam puts in every day to help those guys heal up. And he's got a great relationship with the players, great relationship with Norchad. And Channing would probably know this, you know, a trainer will go to you and say, okay, it's, you know, I need to meet you for therapy at, or, you know, at 3:15. And a guy might roll his eyes, but Norchad and Sam, I think they nearly roomed together. And whatever plan Sam put together for Norchad, he listened to it. He really enjoyed being around Sam. Sam did a great job getting him ready to play. And as I mentioned last night, I don't think by the end of the game, Indiana didn't want to have anything to do with Norchad Omir. He had 17 rebounds. I think he had 9 offensive rebounds. And Miami had 27 second-chance points. And mind you, Indiana is the team that has 2 NBA players, 2 first-round picks. The big guy, the center, Trace Jackson Davis, is an NBA pick. And then Jalen Hood-Schifino, the guard, he's 6'6". He towered over Miami. He's an NBA player, and Miami sent both those guys packing, ending their college careers.
And, Joe, speaking of Norchad Omir, did Indiana not get the memo that he's a rebounder? Because, like, box out Omer and you're going to get the rebound. Like, and everybody else in single digits. He has seven damn teams.
Yeah, they didn't want anything to do with him. He was so physical. And, you know, the only time Indiana really got back in the game was when Norchad had two fouls. But, you know, the other thing about a couple of things jumped out right away. And that was the first possession. Wooga Poplar went right by his guy, Race Thompson. And then I think it was Jordan Miller. He went right by Miller Kopp. And I thought, they can't defend Miami. They're not going to be athletic enough to defend Miami. Thompson just couldn't keep up. Neither could Kopp. And then they had Galloway, who's supposed to be their best defender, on Isaiah. And Isaiah just ate his lunch. And early in the game, I thought, they can't stop Miami. The question was going to be, can Miami stay out of foul trouble and can Indiana slow the game down? And Indiana said they wanted to play fast. Well, they didn't want to play as fast as Miami was playing, I can tell you that. And then I go back to Coach L. He just distilled this game plan down so beautifully, and he made it a game plan of technique and strategy. And the strategy was deny Trayce Jackson-Davis the ball, front him, deny him the ball, and then if he does catch it, as soon as he puts it on the ground, swarm the ball. But the other part of the technique was Norchad, get low. And Norchad, instead of trying to upsize, he got low against this guy and pushed him around, pushed him off the block, pushed him out of position. And then when the ball came in, he jumped up. So that was the technique part of it. And it really, I thought, it stymied Indiana's attack. I thought it was a great game plan. And, you know, he said, we're going to put him in a closet and limit his options. And that's what they did. They put him in a closet, and they didn't allow him to spray the ball around to open shooters.
How about
Coach L, he out-coached Mike Woodson, so Mike Woodson didn't know what to do. And, you know, he's an NBA guy, and I think those NBA guys sometimes just say, we're going to roll the ball out, I got better players. But Coach L had a better strategy.
We've talked about it on this show, whether Coach L gets the credit that he deserves, and obviously with the, you know, nomination to the Basketball Hall of Fame, he probably is starting to, and he's gotten some mad love on the March Madness television broadcast. So I think he's starting to get that credit. But how about Friday night against Drake? I was saying to Solana and Crowder, like, I thought he picked the exact perfect time to go to the press. Had he gone to it earlier, I think that they would have figured it out. He would have tired out his own team. Like I think coaches who had less experience might get a little panicked by the way that game was playing out. And he waited, and then like a sniper went to the press, and it changed the entire game.
Yeah, he doesn't panic. And I think I told you guys on Friday, he told the team, we're not going to win this game at halftime. We're going to have to play to the bitter end. And I saw him after the game, and I said, bitter end? And he kind of looked at me like rolled his eyes. Yeah, bitter end. Didn't know it was going to come right down to that. But he did unleash the trap at the right time at the end of the game. And Drake could not handle it. They started throwing the ball all over the place. It energized Miami and propelled them to that 16-1 run. But it's a strategy that they've used in the past. But that's what he does. He watches the game. What he sees when he's watching the game, I maintain that whatever he sees, none of us see. He sees something else. And he processes it. Then he goes through his Rolodex of what he wants to do next, what strategy he wants to go to. He changed his strategy against Drake at halftime, and it helped a little bit to free up the shooters, to kind of get a little separation. But I think during the game, I'm not sure that there's anybody better than him in making adjustments.
And Joe, I know he's not going to say it in the press or tell us, but like when you just said it, Coach L out-coaches other coaches, and you're around him, do you tell him, like, hey, you know, the press, or hey, double-teaming this guy was genius? And does he have a little swag about him? Like, does he look at you with the little wink, like, you know who I am?
Yeah, I think he has I'll mention something like that. He's got this little coy smile. And I think another curveball they threw in there really wasn't his idea. He had a plan on Saturday. And then yesterday, Sunday morning at breakfast, he told the players, hey, wait a minute. And he doesn't normally do this. He said, I want to add one thing to our defense. Now, remember this. We had 30 minutes to work on this. 30 minutes. You had a practice on Saturday, but you don't really dive in. And when you practice on Saturday, you don't really have a scouting report. The players don't have a scouting report of the other team. You're just going to run through your stuff and give them a little dose of of the opponent and what they were going to do. So on Sunday, you get 30 minutes on the floor. So he changed one thing, and it was something that when he was looking at the video of Indiana's games, he saw Iowa use a certain technique, and he put that in the game as well. And it kind of messed Indiana up a little bit. But because you put it in doesn't mean your players are going to execute it. So they get a ton of credit because they had 30 minutes. And he said, listen, I need you, your full attention. You guys got to pay attention to this. This is what we're going to do. And then they, you know, went out and did it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes. Real quick, it does not get easier. Number one, Houston is next on the list. That is Friday night. How do they beat Houston?
Well, I don't think people realize how hard this damn tournament is. So this will be the third week in a row on the road, right? So now we're going to go to Kansas City. And the team will leave on Wednesday. They're off today. They'll practice tomorrow. And we'll go to Kansas City on Wednesday. And, you know, the brief look at Houston is they're the number one, one of the number one seeds for a reason. And they were number one in the country for a reason. They've got a hard-nosed, very physical team. And I know what Coach L is concentrating on right now. It's rebounding. And that's what this team does. Houston's a great offensive rebounding team. Sometimes their best shot is a missed shot. And so I imagine they'll have some rebounding drills tomorrow. But right at the surface, Houston plays really hard, probably harder than anybody in the country next to Miami. So this will be a game where two teams are going to draw battle lines and go after each other because Miami doesn't get enough credit for how hard they play. They're going to have to play hard and probably play even harder than what they played this year because that's what Houston does. Houston's going to force Miami to elevate their intensity even more, and then especially on the boards. And then, you know, these games sometimes come down to, you know, I hate to say it, but what kind of whistle do you get when it's a physical game? And, you know, the game that on Friday, Hawk, one of the things we didn't talk about, Miami eventually, they got to the free throw line 29 times, 29 or 27 times, whatever it was, and they shot 80%. So against Houston, they have to rebound, play hard, and probably find a way to get to the free throw line.
You're not the only one that has done their research. Solana has just researched this. Now, maybe you want to share this with Coach L and Wooga Poplar, a little scouting report. Solana, what do you have in Kansas City, Missouri, their next stop?
Three Cinnabon locations in Kansas City, Missouri, Joe Z, if you want to pass that info along.
All right, I'll tell Wooga. I just saw him about 10 minutes ago. His bottom is a little sore, but I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, he took a hard landing.
That was a foul, Joe, right? That was a foul.
I thought so, but apparently the other guy did not. I didn't know you could kick the ball in basketball either, like Galloway last night for Indiana. Didn't you guys see he kicked the ball?
All right, we got the ground. Let's move on to Houston. What are we doing? We got the win.
Joe's in tournament mode.
I know, but Joe's tired too. Joe had a long night and the early travel this morning. He's ready to go, man.
I'm a little cranky. I haven't had any food, so I'm going to go to Cinnabon.
Get some coleslaw, will you?
You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm on campus. I'm looking at Cold Stone. Maybe I'll just go to Cold Stone. There's a Cold Stone truck right in front of me. I might tackle that entire truck.
Ice cream.
What do you think you'll mix in? What do you think you'll mix in there?
Hot fudge, marshmallow, vanilla chocolate.
Get the waffle
maybe
bowl.
You like a waffle like bowl? Kind of like the Josie shake, but that's what I like. Hot fudge,
like
marshmallow.
Bowl?
I don't know. Waffle bowl would be I'm so hungry right now, I could probably eat all of it.
Right? Why not? All right, there you go. Josie
Gacky. Got to get the sweet cream. Sweet cream, Joe.
Voice of the Miami Hurricanes. Thank you, Joe.
All right, fellas. Take care.
There you go. It's an exciting week. Things are happening, man. Things are happening.
This is cool, man.
You got Canes women's basketball tonight, 8 p.m. They win, they go to the Sweet 16. Thursday night, FAU men's basketball in the Sweet 16 for the first time ever. Friday night, Canes men's basketball. It is a tough one, number one Houston. So we got action, Jack.
Let me make an admission. When y'all make it to the Sweet 16, it becomes a we. Because I'm from Miami. Everybody's like, man, the Canes are balling. Yeah, man, Coach L got us together. He got
you
us playing
the way
right.
I've adopted FAU like I've been a lifelong season ticket holder.
I'm doing radio interviews about UM basketball.